First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue talking about the work of the gospel, the work of the ministry, our commitment to the local church. Said yesterday that your dedication to the work of the ministry must be total. No one goes half measure and gets the full harvest. It has to be total. Total dedication. In Luke 9, Jesus said, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. That's not getting born again. Put his hand on the plow and looks back. The inconsistent approach. Verse 62, Luke 9. Inconsistent. Today you are burning, tomorrow you are off. No one puts his hand on the plow and looks back his feet. So we said, the work of the ministry, irrespective of what you are doing, maybe 3 people, 1 soul, 10, 20, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million, 2, 5, irrespective of it, the number. It requires a full-time dedication. And that's something we have to learn. An upcoming generation, we are too quick to abandon things, too quick to leave things, try something else. Whether it's relationships, whether it's career, whether it's church, whatever. I almost said club. Okay, I've said it. Too quick to abandon things. Something has a little bit of a fault. Repair it. You abandon, go and buy another one. Full time dedication. Full time. On qualified committal to it. 4, where Paul writing to all of us. I mentioned that one of our recent meetings. I'm just going to go over it again. 4:2 precisely. I'll start from 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be born again. Eh? That a man just loves the Lord. That a man has a sincere heart. No. That a man be found faithful. Someone say faithful. Faithful means to be trustworthy. Trustworthy. Worthy of trust. Worthy of reliability. Worthy of dependability. We can depend on your commitment. Can depend on your commitment. See, if men cannot depend on your commitment, God cannot. That we can depend on your commitment. Your dedication must be an asset to us. Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. When a tooth is broken, it can't be used. When a foot's out of joint, it's just there. So you should be reliable. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness means, I'm saying it again, diligent doggedness and dogged diligence. You are there. Make you at your duty post. Faithfulness. Be consistent. I called a young man, I'm a young man too. I said, this is not trying to bottle you or put you in a box. But look back at our church. We are growing. We are still, We are hustling like you too. We are just growing too. I'm not using that as a perfect example, but just as an illustration. I said, do you notice that we have been doing just the same things? I said, there must be a proof you heard from God. You are pam, 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 prostituting everything. And you think that prostitution is just the one that has to do with moral things. No. Prostitution also involves your commitment. You are not faithful to relationships, not faithful to commitments. You jump here and there. A preacher must be someone that we can rely upon and trust that you are dependable. You are dependable, reliable, trustworthy, that you will do what you said you will do. No matter the circumstance. That's why people that make excuses are never relevant in the things of God. Too many excuses. They go, this happened, that happened. They will reel out excuses. That's not like that. Was in church then. And, just every day a text message. Sir, I am sorry. I'm sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. So I said, come. Let me show you the profile of your phone number on my phone. So I just typed, sorry, sir. And the number of sorrys there will have made me a millionaire. Sorry, sir. So one time I saw the person. I don't want to disclose where, so that I don't give out the identity. And we're talking. And then, I just seen the person for a while. I said, sir, did you hear? Yeah, hear what? And reeled out a particular man of God that just passed on. I think the family knew how. So, and she was telling me what the man did, what happened. And I said, you spent over 30 minutes. We had not seen for about a year or two. You spent over 30 minutes. You have not told me what the Lord is doing through you. Again, she said, sorry, sir. That's who you are. You're just faithful. Sorry, faithful to saying sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. For younger leaders and younger pastors, do not put anybody on your team who is always giving excuses. You understand now. No. Even in the corporate world, you don't do that. You get the job done. You don't get things done by sentiment. Sentiment has never built any good enterprise. What builds lasting enterprise is commitment. Sentiment won't build a nation. Sentiment is, as a nation of Nigeria, and we just keep saying, God will do it. We trust God, and it's good to trust God. I'm not one of those who will say, it's not just about God. That's nonsense. But God that we trust requires dedication on our part. I told someone, you will go to someone's country, then they will put traffic light. You will see green, you realize what it is, you will stop. Even when the green is not green enough, you are still not moving. You obey it. You come to the same country. If I remember one time like that, we were coming into the country. We were in somebody else's country. Everybody behaved themselves. Everybody, were on the queue. We were very committed to the queue. And my boss then, the child son of the late Prime Minister of Nigeria, the first one, we were in the same plane, behaved ourselves in the country we were coming from. As soon as we entered, it was like something happened. We just said, So my boss said, so there was one guy, he just jumped the queue, ran for, he was just walking. And they said, this is the queue. So he just jumped the queue, and my boss, very respectable man, he said, sir, there's a queue, can we just behave ourselves? He said, who are you talking to? If you know what my father has done in this country, you won't ask me to join the queue. He said that. So he made mouth and all that. He didn't even know who he was talking to. So my boss said, who is your father? I will never forget that question. He said, who is your father? Someone said, so who is your father? Maybe one chief in his town. You know, just, you have to be dedicated to it. Giving excuses here and there. You have to be dedicated. You cannot build any enterprise by sentiment. Somebody is your employee. You sent him on errand. He blew your money. He stole it. Not blew. He stole. You don't say, hey, you know, he's my cousin's friend. Don't worry. Maybe it's 100,000 he stole. The one that he will steal. And you will start to curse like your Mount Ebal is about to happen. No sentiment. Can he get the job done? Yes or no? Excuse night and day. Hey, you know, I will have come. If not for, such men are not useful. At least not yet. Don't encourage such men to remain the same. Because when you do it, when you reward unfaithful people, you discourage faithful people. You discourage them. There are those that need help. They just need help. Yes. And you know, it's good to come around, but there's some they don't need. It's not help that they need. The help that they need is rebuke and proper ones. You must, this is not, we're not, it's not a hobby. It's a full time dedication that requires commitment. When you say you are doing the ministry, you throw your all to it. It's not until you have 200 members, 300 members, or you're on TV, or you are on the internet, or whatever, that the dedication is required. No! I was telling a friend, I said as far back as 27 years ago, by next year is 28. I said if I was going to invite my friends to preach, my own friends, I will book an hotel for all of them. As a young boy, an undergraduate, and I didn't book any yeye hotel. Sorry to use that word, but yeye hotel, they're yeye hotels. I booked Star Palace. Star Palace was the primary hotel in Igbobo where I was doing the work of the ministry. The year after, I got them Oriwu Hotel. So a friend now asked me, said, how did you know that way back? I said, what you are going to do in the evening, do it in the morning. It was until my dad now said, why would you allow your friends to let them come around, you know? I said, you book them in hotel. That's the dedication. Because when they come to preach, they are not coming to do friendly meeting. They are men of God, men and women of God. Of course, some of those times, we also gave trouble to the hotel. I remember the manager of Oriwu Hotel came to kneel down for us. We would decide to pray in tongues loud and wake everybody up. Bad manners. And we would pray loud. The man said, you are disturbing everybody. I opened the door and answered him back. We paid for ourselves and paid for our character. Bad manners. There was one man like that. The man was meant to do, he lodged in the hotel, I lodged my friends. Was meant to do a crusade where he was to claim to be the second in command of the devil or something like that. Or maybe the devil himself. I think he was second in command of the devil himself, one of the two, but he was in between. So the man, when we saw his poster, and we saw him, said, this is the man. We went to harass him. you are not a man of God. So, unfortunately for the man, and unfortunately for us too, during the crusade, the cultists came to attack them on the crusade, so he ran back to the hotel room, and we now went to make fun of him. Bad manners. We said, God didn't send you. You are not persecuted. We told him, you are not persecuted. You are not, it was God that sent those people. Because you are not preaching the word. bad manners. Bad manners. Very bad. You know? When you are young like that, you think you know everything. So you know, but the point was the dedication to get it done. They were my friends. I couldn't afford to let them sleep in the car. I'll get them a car, someone to drive, take them through, get them honorariums. This is not something that you just met along the way. No. It's because we knew that what we're doing was not for a time. Give it that dedication. That dedication. My budget to buy books 26 years ago was in tens of thousands. I showed you my, I have the records to buy books. I'm saying 25, 26 years ago. Buy materials. Is the dedication required? You want to teach the word. You want to preach the word. You want to bless lives. You don't want to give it what it takes. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. You give it what it takes. It's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Be found faithful. You're young in ministry. You are still spending a lot of money on clothes. Clothes! What exactly are you called to do? Fashionista or minister? They sound alike. What exactly? You're starting church. Wait, no dedication to the work is wearing suits, taking pictures. Flyer is more than the members. I saw someone. The entire congregation, they went up to 20. And they took over 200 pictures. Is it a studio? Ah! And you know, there's the indulgence and pampering we get by the ease by which things are done. If you grew up when you didn't have money for flyer, our first flyer, Rivers of Joy. I remember Rivers of Joy. We went, was it Rivers of Joy? No, Kingdom Harvest Festival. We went to meet one guy, Ezekiel, that's his name, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, Muslim, to print for us. And the guy printed and we were paying him per color. You don't know that. One color, 500. Two color. And the guy said, your money cannot carry any color. So we said, let us just print it black and white. But the job must be done. But now, you see people, e-flyer. Just get somebody to put something on the internet for you and say, come on, come on. The dedication is not there. Just like you are doing showbiz. Give it what it takes. Let me ask you. In 2021, how much did you spend on materials? Today you can download free. Anywhere you download free, right? It is not freely. It wasn't freely hosted. You should know how to give to wherever you are giving things like that freely. How much have you spent on books? Do you have a concordance? Do you have a Greek Bible? Do you have those things? Do you have them? How much have you spent this year on what you say God has called you to do? How much? How much have you spent on your logistics to go to places to be blessed? How much? How many hours you spend per day to feed the call of God upon your life? To invest in, how many hours do you spend? How many hours do you spend on the congregation? How much of your resources have you used to meet the needs of those under you? These are quantifiable things. Don't wait till the judgment seats. You should judge yourself. How much money have you spent on people this year? How much time? So, you should ask yourself, what have I really done? That's what the young man like that. I traced him on Facebook. A new church. New church. No, it's not a new church anymore. You have stopped midweek services. You don't have much time for ministry like you should. And you are every day on Facebook. I said, come off it. Go off. If you see me on Facebook, are we mates? When we were trekking Ghana to Ivory Coast on foot, you were not even born. Not born again. You were not born. No passports. I can say it now. It's been a long time. On foot. Taking sole. You know sole? It's a Greek word for it. It's hiking. We enter bush. They say custom is coming. We speaking in tongues. We enter bush. Say, they have gone. We come out again. And we had the leader there. He has sweet mouth. One day, his sweet mouth, we just hear slap. Fall! All of us. We ran. But he came back to him. He said, and it was a yellow man. So the thing was already red. He said, not really painful. And we ran! So, you see the work you are doing is not getting the results you want, and you are still spending time advising the body of Christ, telling us that the gospel must be preached. Some of you, the things that you should be saying to God, you are posting it. Things you should say to God, you are posting it. We will do this thing forever. Say it to God. We are not the ones that need to hear it. Morning and afternoon and evening. Hey, the gospel forever. The work of the Spirit forever. And yet, you have slept four times today. Forever. Give it what it takes. Give it all that it takes. Your resources. Go into it. Your dedication. Your commitment. Go into it. Hallelujah. Give it to it. If you believe in the call of God upon your life, prove it. Prove it by the kind of relationships that you have. Prove it by the way you use your time. Prove it. Don't just make mouth. Be dedicated. Church, in the coming days, I want to see you committed to lives. Did you hear me? Be committed to lives. What matters to God in this world are lives. In the coming days, be committed to people. Anyone who cannot be committed to people cannot be used of God. You have to be committed to people. Let people take your time. Of course, there's a lot of balance to that. You're able to rest, have time for other things. I know that. But ensure that you are giving people your time. One day I was grumbling. I said, God, this boy is just disturbing me. And he asked me a question. Would you love not to be disturbed again? You are finished. If nobody is disturbing you, then you are done for. You are done. You will not have time for everything else. You'll be parrying. Hey, a young man. We're young, of course. We're young then. Still young. And we were praying. This thing is very painful. I say it a lot. We prayed, we fasted, waited upon the Lord. I remember one day, we went to, what's this school? Is it Kamebalogun or something? We went there and we prayed. We prayed that the gate man, the way he chased us that day. And this guy, I know he came from a wealthy family, so it was a strange thing for him that we were running and they were chasing us. So, we left the place, we went to, what's the other place again? To go and pray. And we were fast. He was going to leave the country to go to the Middle East. So we were really praying, and you know, a medical doctor, so we were praying. He said, look, I said, Prof, I really want God to use me. He said, and you know, he was really active here, so we prayed. I know, because we knew that country was a Muslim country. So we knew he needed a lot of prayer. And we prayed. He went. We would talk every day. He would call on the Nitel lines. Is it Nitel now? Is it Nitel or the other one? I think it's Emmys or something. He would call and we would talk, pray and all that. So he started a fellowship. You know, he had gotten a lot of contracts, you know, to work. Started a fellowship, an underground fellowship. And it was growing to over 25 or so. We're growing. And all his converts were Muslims who got saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Suddenly. I don't know what came over him. He felt that one job was not enough. Tax free, oh. Tax free. They were even going to give him wife free. And that one too, tax free. He was getting everything. And he had a sister in Nigeria. Who we all were praying together. And believing God. That as he does the work of the ministry, etc., etc. Suddenly, his phone calls reduced to, hey, I will have called. I got home late. I said, no problem. Then he got, after the second job that he knew was not allowing him, he got a third one. He didn't tell me. You know, you always know who you cannot tell such things. When you want to do wrong things, you know who to talk to. Little children do it a lot. As a child, you should do it. You know what to tell your dad. And your mom. Depending on which one. My own parents, they were not really different. Both of them were just there. They were a side of a coin. You know. The only thing about my mom was that the inspiration she uses to pick cane. I don't know anybody that has it in the world. She doesn't have anything she calls cane. Anything. She can use a chair. She can use anything. I mean, we once poured, we wasted food and put it in the dustbin. She said, go and pack it and eat it. Don't try that nonsense, ma'am. But Jesus said, nothing must waste. Let nothing be waste. I don't know how she extrapolated that scripture. I didn't know that scripture until she said it. Nothing must be wasted. So you know who to talk to when you want to do wrong. He didn't tell me. So suddenly he now called me from the blues. He said he was just thinking, he was praying, the Lord told me. I don't know how he said it. That he should hand over that work to one of the new disciples. I said, why? He said, you know, I don't have time. So that, you know, sometimes he misses the meetings. He goes for meetings. So he misses the meetings. They have to lead the prayer. I said, this is the guy we spent months fasting. Some people are just wasted effort, oh, really. Some people really. Some people is wasted investment. How can you took months. You know, got there. Money was not his problem. He just wanted more. Wanted more. And so that's how he told me he had to hand over. I tried to talk to him, but when he told me he was led, who am I? So I said, okay. A new combat. It didn't take long for the nation to now lift the barrier they put on religious meetings for Christians. What judgment, what other judgment do you need in your life? Suddenly, he didn't have time. He went to go and start a nightclub or something. He didn't have time. There was no time. But there's nightclub. Suddenly, you see him, he'll travel to Europe. I said there, some friends are doing something. Somebody is getting married to somebody's father. He will go. But the sister here, knowing and sensing that Magidon had come, she just broke the relationship. So, he flew to Nigeria. They never had time. He flew. And he came. He said, you've been a blessing to me. I knew something had gone wrong. He said, I can't, when I look at my life, how much you have blessed me. That must have been year 2000. Is it 2000? Year 2000? 2001. He said, the Lord has really been, I said, Fred, what happened? He said, actually, the sister, she said she can't marry him again. I said, why? I don't know. She just all of a sudden. So I said, let us go. So he drove me. We went to the sister's house at Dolphin Estate. That was the first time I heard the song, you are the love of my... It was playing it repeatedly. More than this world too. That's how I liked the song. So we got to sister's place. I said, can you leave us alone? I said, no problem. So sister said, a guy that can disobey God like this, I can't trust him. You are a real child of God. He said, thank you. So we went outside. He said, how did it go? I said, very fine. So as he was about to drop me, we had entered the road. He said, you are not saying anything. I said, you see, this song you are playing, play it more. This song that you are playing, you need to play it a lot. You need it at this time. He said, yes. I see the guy on Facebook now. You can't relate that young man who fully gave himself to the Lord. So he's just doing well. You see him wearing, you know, having world accolades. It's fine. But he's living a life of regret. Money cannot satisfy anybody in this world. Not even a non-believer. Fame. That's why you see famous people commit suicide. Fame, even an unbeliever is not fulfilled with money. Unbeliever. Getting married does not even fulfill an idol worshiper. The one who created you and I is the only one that can fulfill man. So no matter how much laxative you take in the flesh, it will wear off. So give it your all. Whatever you see in your future, invest into it now. Do it now. Be committed to it. We said the gospel, bazaar, is war. So, I want to say this to all of us. And this is for me and you. Training is forever. Did you hear me? Training is forever. In our professional disciplines, we see that you can't use yesterday's training. You have to have ongoing training. You have to sharpen your skills all the time. It's forever. I saw something written by Pastor Susan Fletcher. And I want to read it. I believe it's something about training. I'll just read it. She said, soldiers are trained to do their military jobs, but they are also trained for combat. Through the consistent training they receive, they are conditioned to endure, to win battles, to have mental and physical toughness, to respond to threats and danger. This training changes them from civilian thinking and identification to that of a soldier. Their training can save their lives as well as the lives of others. I'll take that again. Soldiers are trained to do their military jobs, but they are also trained for combat. Through the consistent training they receive, they are conditioned to endure, to win battles, to have mental and physical toughness, and to respond to threats and danger. This training changes them from civilian thinking and identification to that of a soldier. Their training can save their lives, pay attention to that, as well as the lives of others. So she now said this. Training, therefore, is the act of doing something over and over so that it gets deep down inside you until it becomes who you are. Training is the act of doing something over and over so that it gets deep down inside you until it becomes who you are. When training is successful, the person will respond to situations the way they are trained to. And this is why we need Christians that are trained and not just taught. That consistent, repetitive study and practice of God's word makes us successful soldiers for Christ. Let me take that again. Training is the act of doing something over and over so that it gets deep down inside you until it becomes who you are. When training is successful, the person will respond to situations the way they are trained to. And this is why we need to be trained as Christians and not just taught. That consistent, repetitive study and practice of God's word makes us successful soldiers for Christ. Can I have an amen? Consistent, repetitive. That is, you do it every day till it becomes who you are. That you, it will be strange. The other day when we are fasting, you know, we broke the fast by 11. I couldn't do it. Even though I had been fasting for weeks, I couldn't. I said, I wasn't trained to break my fast by 12. In fact, somebody said, why? I said, I will feel like I'm going to miss heaven. I can't even take water. There was a guy, I was fasting and I was coughing on the pulpit. I said, I looked at that water. I said, Now, you don't have to do that. I'm saying it is the training. I'm just used to it. Interestingly, that evening, I couldn't eat again. So I had to take it to the next evening. This conference. Because it is who I am. I said, me, break fast by 12. I'll feel like I have 666. It will be too odd. Something I have not done in how many years of being a Christian. I can't do it. I'm not saying you are wrong, go. I'm just saying it is just who I am. Because I know if you pick up something and you do it once, you can do it again. You will find a reason to do it the second time. So training to pray. How many hours in the week do you pray? To study. How many? Training. Training. There is a training. I'm trained, for example, not to talk too much. If I'm talking to you, those who know me, I can tell you one story in series. And you hear, I said, someone will say, but this is, you stopped at this point in 2011. I said, I know. We'll continue in 2026. I learned it by experience, by a bad experience, to watch what I say. It's training. To watch what you say when you are preaching is training. Do it repeatedly till it becomes who you are. As a matter of fact, if something is not my business, it will be difficult for you and I to engage it. I'll say, it's not my business. It's not my business. Because I've seen the bad side of prying your eye into what is not your business. One time like that, a friend whose room we used to go to Christ's embassy together. Then, it was one that actually let me know where they were meeting. That was 93 or 4, one of the 2 years. So one of the services, the pastor had to rebuke a member publicly. It was a very harsh, hard service. You know the kind of service that the song you sang as a closing song was like a hymn. Like, The pastor said, if I see you greet anybody outside, if I see you smile, everybody was going, going home. And their services like that. It's not every time you rejoice, you live by the door of rejoicing. Some you live by the door of franking your face. You know franking your face? It's a Nigerian where you frank your face. Hallelujah. I will go. So my friend came in the evening. He said, Ore? I said, how are you? He said, how was service? I said, fine. He said, what did you see? What do you think the emoji? What do you think it did? What's your opinion? I said, how? So what do you think? I mean, did you think, I mean, Did he have to move that kind of thing? To just move, to move that kind of realm? I said, what realm? He said, is that not too legalistic? Legalistic. I said, are you the pastor? He said, no. You are yet to disciple his soul. Because I know him. His soul. One soul. And you are talking about somebody who is dealing with his choir leader. I said, don't you know what your business is not? I said, look, my friend. This is how I said it. I said, take your course and leave my house. Train yourself to act that way. Whatever is not your business, it is not your business. Train yourself. Train yourself where to stop talking. Train yourself. I taught this recently and yeah, don't be stupid. Train yourself to know your audience before you open your mouth. Train yourself. That's why you see soldiers. Sometimes they look like they are mean. They are not mean. People you expect to use the gun cannot be crying when they see Cain. They look like they are mean. It is training. You must give yourself to it repeatedly, 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 repeatedly. One time like that, a doctor said, you know, the way I'm looking at you, your health, you cannot fast again. I said, sir, that advice cannot work. Amend it. Say what I said, it can't work. Me, not too fast. No, it cannot work. Let's look at the options available. Tell me when to stop and when to start. Don't say I should not do it again. Say I see your point. You have to see my point. Hallelujah. So, training is that thing you do so regularly. It becomes a part of you. We can't take it away from you. When you got to United Kingdom, the reason why you changed was because you were not trained. When you got married and things changed, it's because you were not trained. When you have money and you change, because you were not trained. That's what happened. It's training. Training. For example, if somebody is cautious, respectful, and you don't have money, don't trust that attitude yet. When he has the money and influence. So when I see some preachers and they say, you are my mentor, you are my father, you are my this one. Let me wait till you have some level of influence. I will know whether you are truthful. I'll know whether you are sincere. When you don't have money, you are saying you are honest. You are saying you are faithful. Let some money enter your pocket. And we'll see. We'll see. So when somebody is solely disrespectful, it's not the money. The money just exposed him. You train yourself to be respectful, to honor people. I was in government college 2 years ago, we were having our anniversary. And I met a man. The man used to drive Combi bus for us. And the man, you know, about 30 years, the man, you know, came and people were like, So I noticed something that happened. Because the man wasn't driving again, he had retired. Of course, he wasn't as privileged and as lucky, I'll use the word, as many of us who were there. As soon as I saw him, right? I was the president of my set. As soon as I saw him, I prostrated. I noticed that all the other people did something similar as soon as I did it. And I said, honor that has to be monetized is not true honor. What I did, what I have done for him over 30 years before then was what I did. After, in spite of my status, which I am fortunate to have above him. I use the word fortunate. Because sometimes some of us think that we are who we are because we are very intelligent and all that. If you look around, you just thank God for your life. So train yourself to be respectful. Train yourself to be diligent. Train yourself not to tell lies. You see, when your words are few, exaggeration will be beyond you. Let your words be few. Scripture says, out of the multitude of words, wanted no sin. You sin. Always talking. Learn to be quiet. So that's discipleship. You will train yourself. Train yourself on what you watch on TV. Train yourself. I have what I watch on TV. I have what I will watch. I have the way I watch a movie. You train yourself. This is someone that I grew up watching movies for 3 days stretch, not leaving the sitting room. It was like a possession. Train yourself. It's a training you give your, and it doesn't stop. Like I shared with you here, it doesn't stop. Train yourself. You'll be coming for this conference. It is part of that training. Don't say, next year, I told someone, I said, look, we didn't start WCC because we saw somebody doing it, so we were inspired. No. We're led by God to do what we're doing. And if God wants you to be coming to rekindle fire, to be consecrated, don't go and start to do your own. Don't go and do. I'm not saying so that you will come. Those that did not come, other people not here. No. Don't let that thing get into your head. You must do what somebody else is doing. Who told you to do it? So give yourself that training to listen to God's word, to practice God's word. Training is consistent and forever. So the work of the ministry is such that it is like a military work. Hence, Jesus said in Luke 24:49, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Why did he give them power? Because it's a work that requires power. If it didn't require power, he would not give them. For you to know it requires power and authority, it shows you that what you are engaged with is not a natural thing. Luke 10:19 said, behold, I give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after with the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Shall witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It shows you the nature of the work of ministry. It requires power. It requires authority. It requires character. Good character. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for example, says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captivity into the obedience of Christ. So you see that it is a military work. It requires power. It requires authority. And I told you, I've been telling you for years, ministry power is prayer power. Ministry power is prayer power. It's not mental power. When you start seeing that you are losing confidence, you are becoming inconsistent in the work of ministry, check your prayer life. People that are consistent in prayer are consistent in their conduct, consistent in their commitments. Check your prayer life. It requires consistent commitment to prayer. Confidence in ministry is developed in the place of prayer. give yourself that training. Give yourself that training. And it is good to do it when you are young. I repeat myself. When you are young, do it. Don't wait till the time you now be saying, yeah, that was what I used to be before, but you know time has changed. No! Lamentations 3 and 27. I said it was Solomon yesterday, that was a mistake. It is good for a man to bear the yoke when he's young. Bear the yoke when you are young. Know how to keep quiet. How to keep quiet. I was on a trip one time. And everybody was just sharing all sort of revelation. I didn't see anything. I attended all the devotion. I didn't tell anybody I was a pastor. I just a few years ago, I didn't see anything. One day, 2 days, almost the second week, you know, I said, can you share something with us, brother? So what I did, the man said, are you a pastor? I said, thank God. How you didn't even show it? Why would I show it? What difference will it make? Yeah, that's interesting. He expect me to say, hello everybody, you want to share the word? Let me start. You know I'm a pastor. No, now. Behave yourself. Don't even introduce yourself as pastor. If you see anybody who uses his hand to write pastor as his name, I'm not the person that trained the person. I'm saying it loud and clear. It's what we were trained with. What are you putting yourself on? Let people be the ones to tell us who you are. Everybody wants to tell us. Hello, this is Pastor Shergo on the line. This is Pastor Shergo on the line. Which one is your first name? Praise the Lord. There's even one guy like that. Yeah, I don't even do anything except one meeting like that he did, that I was one of the crowd of the meeting. That means me, crowd. You don't get my figure of speech. He now went to get one doctorate degree online. He now added pastor doctor with no flock. Said, if you desire to be a medical doctor when you were young, pastor doctor, add brother now. Pastor, doctor, brother, saint, born again, child of God, Oriokwe. It requires power and authority. The gospel is about territories. If you are located in a place, hear me, God wants you to influence that place. Let's get to a point where we can influence our cities, our towns, and change the complexion of the place. That is our job. People, places are your focus in ministry. People, places. So let's look at a few practical things I want to say here. In the work of the ministry. The first seed you should plant. Say, I want to do a work. The first seed is to plant yourself. Plant yourself first. Whatever you want to see done in the work of the ministry, be the seed of it. Be the seed. Plant yourself there. I wrote this a few weeks ago, and this is for this conference. It's an instruction to all of us. Stick with the basics. The basics of ministry. Prayer. 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 Basic. Acts 6:4. We give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Give yourself to it. Luke 3:21. Jesus was praying at the baptism. Luke 6. You see, all over scripture is given to prayer. Basic. Basic things. There's no extra magic anywhere. Basic. 2. To the preacher. preaching of God's word to the preaching of God's word consistently. Evangelism. Discipleship. Basic things. Basic. Know the basics. You say you are going to be the best striker in the world. You cannot control a ball. They say, come and head the ball. Every time the ball goes up, it's always meeting you accidentally. Basics. Something we learned when we were playing set. You don't even know. Set. You know set? You don't even know. Basic. You want to become a medical doctor. Biology, F9. How? Chemistry. They seized your result because there was nothing they could mark. Basic. They are basic things. Basic. That is required. Just basic things. Prayer. Evangelism. Can you do one-on-one? Share the gospel with people. Basic. Giving. You want to be in the ministry? Are you generous? Giving. Basic things. Be of exemplary character. Basic things. Not something out of this world. Be the seed of what you are planting. Basic. Jesus was going to train men to preach. He was the one that first began to preach. He was going to train men to pray. He was the one that began to pray. To be generous, same thing. The call to train disciples starts with you. Be the model of what you want to be done. Be the seed. Be the seed. In future, you know you want to have people under your care who are committed, dedicated, consecrated, upright in conduct, generous. Be that model. Be that example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. 1 Peter 5. Peter says, not be lords over God's flock or people or church, but as examples. So be the seed, the model, the pattern. I told someone one day, I said, look at the time you got to the service. I said, imagine if everybody came at this time. Because that is the seed you are sowing. Be an example. Be an example. Be an example. Be the seed. Be the model. What you want to be done. That's why when you are in the ministry, sometimes you carry pain, pressure, and you are there to bless lives. I've had a healing service before that I was sick, healed, and I was laying hands on people that were getting healed. And I was laying hands on all of them. And I was really, really, really down physically. Doesn't matter. You carry your own pressure, your own challenges, and you are yet a blessing to others. Because one day, you will have to tell the brethren that they should be dedicated and committed in spite and despite. Be the model. Are you in church? Are you in church? Be the model. Be the seed. Be the seed of the work. You want to raise committed people. Are you committed? Are you committed? Be the seed. Give me responsibility. Let me just say this, by the way. And this is important for all of us here. It's not many people that God will call to pioneer something. I've said this before. But, you know, short of people trying to, might want you to quote me wrongly, but it doesn't really matter. You know, usually those who should pioneer are few. There are people who have gone ahead to pioneer something that ought not to. Sometimes it's peer pressure. Sometimes ambition. Sometimes arrogance and pride. Or you want to prove a point. No. Stay where God has put you. Stay where God has put you. You will always flourish where God has put you. I like to say it like this. Don't change what works and what is working. Go and make an unnecessary experiment. There was one artist like that. You know, used to be a backup singer for one popular artist. People were saying, this is the reason. This is the reason why this artist is, if this person can sing on his own, on her own, this and that, I say, I use an illustration. I can use it again. I said, you know, Sonny Ade. I said, we all like his music. Yes. I know. I said, but do you know that there are other people playing in the band? I said, yes. Now, imagine if one of them that is playing the guitar says, it's because of my guitar that they know this man. And he goes to start a guitar for the nations. I said, you know, no matter what they are playing, you are all waiting for Sonny Ade to sing. Which means that his guitar only becomes relevant because he's playing with this man. I gave you a simple natural principle. You must know where God has placed you. People will flourish. Do well. Sometimes why some people are struggling is because they are not where God has put them. And you can't change the rules. Not everyone. People will give you different prophecies, strange prophecies. And sometimes those prophecies are from excitement. Excitement. I remember years ago, we were training boys and all that. And I didn't know when some folks, friends of mine really, had gone to some of those members and given them different utterances. I see you stand forth. I see you spread forth. I see you launch forth. I see you be forth. That's how I checked my diary of my dear brother. They had called him, that's an apostolic and prophetic calling. And I now noticed that he started acting it. I didn't observe initially. I was just going to say, okay, sir. Then normally he wouldn't reply when we were talking. Now he started replying. Can I have my opinion? I now saw the reason. Prophecy had gone ahead of him. He will later tell me a couple of years ago that he really regretted most of it. I said, no, you shouldn't have regretted at all if you were listening. It's not every time you have a second chance to do anything. Some things. Some things you won't have any other chance again. See, you don't. Stay where you are flourishing. Don't let excitable, things get you off God's will. I said, don't allow excited prophecies to give you false confidence. Excited prophecies. Stay where you are led. Blossom and fulfill God's will for your life. Fulfill God's will for your life. That's what is important. Fulfill God's will. Since community church cannot be called to do everything in the body of Christ, that's even stupid. How many things can you even do? You do what God has called you to do. Do your own. Do your own. Nobody is called for the entire body of Christ. Do your own and go. Our vision is very clear, unambiguous. If you don't have an ambition, let me use the word, a desire to oversee God's people, which we call pastor, to shepherd people for the rest of your life, you won't stay long in this church. You will find a reason to fight us. You will find a reason to say that we are sadists. Because you won't fit in. So sometimes you go and look for where you fit in. Where they can allow you, to be yourself.
Ambition is not ambiguous. It's not, and it's not negotiable. Someone told me one time, saying this and that, Pastor, I think, what we do, how we do. I said, sit down. Let me ask you a few questions. I said, were you here the first service of this church? He said, no. Did you start this church? No. Did we start it together? No. I said, look into the congregation. Go and find your seat. And sit there. Look very well. You should know where your seat is. Sit there and remain seated till he makes all your enemies your footstool. You met us doing what we are doing. You joined us doing what we are doing. Keep joining. Stay where you are blossoming. Stay where you are flourishing. Stay where you are fulfilling God's will for your life. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Since you know it, fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. Be trained to hear God. Be trained to be led by the Spirit of God. Be trained to pray. Make it consistent. Consistent. Daily. Weekly. Make it consistent. Know what you are not trained with. Know it. I was to a program one time. I was even a guest speaker. So there were like 4 seats or so. It's a national program. So some other people sat in front. I think, some well-respected national figures in the work of the ministry in Nigeria. So the host pastor, who's a senior friend, said, why did you change where you sat? I said, I wasn't trained to sit down where these men sit. I said, no, I wasn't trained like that. I went to the back. I wasn't trained that way. I said, no. I sat at the back. Consciously. If you are fooling me, there's nothing wrong. But the day I start to fool myself, and I start having a full attention, I don't fool myself. One guy, he said, you know, you are the answer to many generations. I was still listening. How? He said, you know, I may not have been lucky to be in the days of Paul, but I mean, your days, you are the Paul of again. I just blocked him on Facebook. How did you find Paul in my name? Because you see, listen, you will think you can discard it. If you hear it long enough, you will believe it. You just change your name, Chris Paul. I blocked him. Mad guy. Yeah, you are the battle axe for the nations. What you are an agricultural tool. You that you know yourself. When you are alone, you know yourself. So that when people are praising me, I laugh. Whatever I say, I'm just a child of God. Who is hustling like you? Who is trying to do God's will like you? We are just pulling through. It's what you are doing that I'm doing. Amen? I'm just lucky and privileged that God is using us the way he is. If he withdraws his hand, so be it. Piece of clay, nothing more. That's done for. So give yourself brain. Then everybody psych you. They call you. Someone said, you know, I looked at your ministry. I see something apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic. The teaching grace is there and the shepherd. I say, kukua Jesus. Don't stop there yet. And when you are done, say Yahweh. Hey Yahweh, hey Yahweh, Shego. Idiot. Is that what we sent you here to do? Praise the Lord. The greatest pastor's appreciation
you can do for your pastor is to be committed to the work of the ministry. It's not to write long epistle. Hey, when I was young, I didn't know I was going to meet the world like this. When I came close after, I knew this was the man. On Sunday, you came late. So, what is the eulogy for? You came late. You want to give for the work of the ministry, you gave us change. See? The greatest appreciation. I tell people oftentimes, if you see people maybe speak ill of me or stuff like that. Someone came to church one time in the lobby and telling me, I think pastors, I said, look, the greatest defense you can do for me is to be preaching God's word. Leave that one. Just preach God's word and do God's will. Forget, people have their mouth. They can say anything they like. Someone said, I learned you said so, so and so. I didn't say your own. I've said my own, say your own. When did we say, but why are you saying, when did we agree to be deciding when I will say something? Are you sure you don't have brainwave? Say your own. Write your own. I'll write my own. I'll write my own. Nonsense upon this ingredient. Sacrilegious the concourse. That's a lame. Is that a lame? So, you must stick with your training. Look at what David said. After David spoke to Saul in 1 Samuel 17 and said, you know, your servant had a bear, you know, and he fought the bear and said that in verse 36. Saul now said, okay. In 38, 1 Samuel 17, he now gave him his armor. And scripture says in 39, when David gathered his sword upon his armor, and he had said to go. And I love this. Look at this text. He said he had not proved it. Hallelujah. Remember the word test. Remember the word test. He had not tested it. The guy said, look, this is what's working for. And he said, he wore the military armor. But he remembered that when I took out the bear and the lion, I didn't need all of this. I didn't need all of this. He said, he said, look, I cannot go in this. I have not tested it. I cannot go in this. I don't know this method of ministry. I cannot go in this. I took up a pastor years back. Just temporarily. So I asked them, how do you do outreach? Reach the lost. They said, that they will organize a program, bring someone to go and give testimony. They will now give food packs. When they give food packs, the guy will give testimony. This guy used to be a former armed robber or something. You come and give testimony. And then people will now come and surrender their life to Christ. I said, how much were you spending? They now told me the amount. I said, God will judge all of you. I was a new pastor. I said, those souls that came out, is that they were not really born again? Or God just allowed you? I said, getting people born again requires pure water for the journey. I said, that is all that you need. I think they said they spent 200,000 or something then. This was 23 years ago. I said, you wasted money. They thought I was going to embrace. I said, no, I was not trained this way. I got born again about 11 a.m. By 4 p.m. the same day, they took me out to go and preach the gospel. David said, I cannot go in this. I have not proved it. Don't go in what you have not tested, what you are not trained with. Have no entitlement culture and ministry. I've got to say that this is bad the way. Where you feel, I must be the one God should use. God decides who is going to use. Don't think because you are praying for a nation, you are going to be the one God will send. No. That may be just all he wants you to do. Don't have an entitlement culture. You must be the one to pastor. You must be the one why have they not asked me to lead prayer? I can sing so well, but in the music team, they never asked me to take lead. Lead, Nikako. Copper knee. Are you not doing it to honor the Lord? Are you doing it for people to see you are taking the lead? Are you praying so that they can call you to come and lead prayer? Or are you doing it to serve God? Don't have an entitlement culture. A man of God invited me to preach for him a few years ago. He was shocked at what I did. So he now called me back. He said, I'm sorry, I can't have you coming. I said, why? He said, I think, you know, the way you do your ministry. He went. I said, there's no problem, sir. He said, I just want to say. He now went. I said, you don't want me to come again. I said, it's not a problem. I said, when you invited me, it was honor. I don't have an entitlement to preach in your church. So he now felt I would react negatively. No. We're talking normally. I mean, you even know. I mean, he told me practically that no, the way you do your ministry. I said, no problem. I will talk. You do his birthday, I'll greet him. I said, I don't have an entitlement. There has been that's entitlement culture. It is your church. You are the one that labored there. If you are the one that called me, and you're the one that uncalled me, you have a right. There's no entitlement. If you call me every year to come and preach for you, and you say you don't want to again, I will not become your enemy. It's your church. That is why, you know, with what I've seen a bit, I'm preaching. They gave me 3 sessions. In the middle of the 4th session, they are sending letter. Please, 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 run, 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 run. I said, what have I done? He said, just please. So that was the 2nd session. Say. So now, if I'm preaching somewhere and I have 4 sessions, every session I'll give thanks. Thank you for the honor. Because I'm not sure the 2nd session they won't send me a text. And I won't feel bad. I won't feel bad. Don't have an entitlement culture. I know ministers who are fighting other ministers because they have not invited them. If you are busy with your own local church, you will not be looking for invitation. Who has not invited me? Who has not invited me? Is it a party? Don't have an entitlement culture. If they gave you 4 sessions, say, no, it's now 2, still be grateful. If you say it's now 1, be grateful. The privilege to preach is a high privilege. Can I have an amen? Be grateful. I recall the first invitations I got in life. First invitations. How I treasured it. Nothing shook me more than I made a commitment. One time in one missions conference at Rema Chapel, Oluyole, not to take offerings for a long time or take honorarium. That is how I got an invitation the next year. Was it that same year? And the first thing they gave me that day was the gift of a house. There's no better way to be tested in life. I'm saying 27 years ago, 26 years or so, a house. So say, I just was led to say, why were you not led before I made the commencement? When I shared with my friends, they said, one of my friends said, no, really, I understand how you feel about this, but maybe you should pray a bit about it. I said, pray about what? Because house has come. You did not pray about it before. No, house is much. Pray. Yes. I said, I'm not praying about it. I said, I was addicted to it. I think the year after, that's the same year. I went to preach somewhere, someone just came, then it was a lot of money. He brought 7,000 naira. This is the week after. 7K. I was looking at the money. It was one filling station, AP station like that. And the guy was taking me in a 505. I said, 7K. I wanted to pray for him. So I wanted to pray for myself. So I said, you know what? I just want to give it back to the ministry. I was not happy. I said, give it back to the ministry. I said, why did I make this kind of commitments? I look at what is going on. And that's just what it is. Praise the Lord. There is no entitlement culture in ministry. Just serve God. Amen? Just serve God. He must call you. They didn't ask me to share. It's not share, it's table. Did anybody stop you from doing evangelism? No. If you really want to preach the word, you go on the streets. Praise the Lord.
So the reason why you are looking for invitation is because you want publicity. It's fame you are looking for. If it's ministry you want to do, evangelism is enough. Can I have an amen? It's fame that is pushing you. There are so many young folks like that. They are struggling for congregation on Facebook. Struggling. And it's fame. Rather than do work, do the groundwork in the work of the ministry. Don't have an entitlement culture. If people give you the honor to be a blessing, it's an honor. Let me say this. Those of you who are associate pastors or are pastors, if you preach 52 times in your church, 52 times, and you are under a pastor, 52 times, accord the person that honor every time you are preaching. Make it a culture. See that first time when they say, okay, Rasul, and so you are going to go and lead that assembly for us. And you say, thank you, sir. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for the honor. It shouldn't stop there. Make it consistent. We have a growing culture among young people, an unthankful culture. Ungrateful to parents. Ungrateful to those who have helped them. Don't be ungrateful. Don't be. Whatever has helped you, no matter how little it was help. I remember this conversation I had with a man and his wife. We were having a conversation, and then the man told the wife was saying that when the man was still struggling, she bought him a car, she bought the land for him. He said, what's the big deal? The man said, what's the big deal? He said, I will write you one check and I will clear all you have ever done. I said, don't talk like that, sir. Don't talk like that. Why didn't you write that check then? Don't be ungrateful. I said to Europe, you can't measure kindness. The fact that you needed it, you cannot value it. Be grateful for your parents. Are you there? Are you there? Don't say they are bugging you, they are disturbing you, they are doing this, they are doing that. When you cannot call them again, you will know how to be grateful. Be grateful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Many parents went through a lot to say, I saw my father become a kabu-kabu driver. My father is not given to say, I love you, all those things, I love you. Sometimes I tell my son, when he's talking to me, and he's talking to me like his guy. I say, one thing I told him, I said, my father never used to do this. He said, that's your father, you are my own father. Can you imagine? But the point is, he never used to say, I love you, no. But I saw it. Kabu driver, a bank manager. One day I wanted to enter, I saw my father say, not for any reason. To ensure we're trained. You can't tell me that person didn't love me. He didn't have to tell me, I love you, you guys. People say it and they lie. But that is inaction. You should be grateful. That's why I made up my mind. His name will never go down. It's a commitment I've made to his name. Should be thankful. Even when the person is no longer there, be thankful. Be grateful for your parents. Some of your parents saw things, went to hell and highway in sickness. Some of you will fall sick as children. Your mom, your dad, they won't sleep for days. I grew up, you cannot call them, you cannot greet them, you cannot do stuff like that. Say, I'm very busy, I'm now the MT of Nigeria. You are only ungrateful. This Christmas period, send something, make a phone call, show yourself, be present. Don't have an entitlement culture. Have a grateful heart, thankful heart. Be thankful for opportunities. Be thankful. I don't know about you, I'm thankful for life. Anybody like that? I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for every day, every opportunity, every strength I have, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the people around me. I'm thankful for those who have assisted me. Those who are still assisting me. Don't be entitled. Be thankful. The way to break entitlement from your life is to be grateful to people. Be grateful to your children too. Be grateful.
Please, your children are not giving you headache. Be grateful. Be grateful for your friends. Don't have an entitlement culture. Hey, he hasn't called me. Why didn't you call me? Don't you have a phone call too now? Why didn't you call me? It's been 1 week. You called me like, you to call. Don't have an entitlement culture and a ministry. And people, and let me say this to you, when people give you platforms to bless lives, don't go there and destroy that platform. Don't go there and destroy that platform. Be grateful. Don't take away people's church and say, it's not, it's Christ as the head of the flock only. You are a thief. Don't take away congregation and say, it doesn't matter. It's Christ that died for them. You are a thief. You are a thief. Sheep thief only. You are a thief. Don't do that. Be honorable. So the young man said, what can I take in tortoise? If you are going to leave a place, say you should go to another state. Another place entirely. And that is what I have done. Everywhere I've assisted as pastor, I never started any work there. If I had to do at all, I gave it 2 years and nobody from that place ever came with me. That's why I say it everywhere. Don't beat on people's work and start to explain. Then when people are talking about loyalty and honor, you're not trying to explain it away because of your bad manners. Live right. Don't steal people's congregation. Don't say because the Christian church is so large, you can take the members and run away. Don't run away with anybody. Because whatever you sow, you are going to reap. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Have a life of honor. A life, a culture of it. And be faithful. Don't have an entitlement culture. Don't. And so let's cut across the board now. Go across board to all of us generally. Many times the challenges some pastors, leaders, even myself, who face are the same things that Moses faced. Moses faced different things. Murmuring people, insatiable, ungrateful, unthankful, people that can at the spur of the moment can just yield to the flesh. But one of the things I want to bring out this morning is that there were people who left Egypt with him, but Egypt never left them. I'll bring it home now. You have people come into a congregation from other churches and they want to bring the culture, behavior from that place to their new church. Or they never left at all. Such people, as happened to Moses, oftentimes become the clog in the wheel. They're always turning back. They're always turning back. They are never focused on the leadership of the place immediately. And many churches face such men and women who constitute a distraction. I said, they left, but never left them. In fact, in Acts 7, Stephen put it like this. He said, in Acts 7, go there. He says, to whom our fathers, verse 39, would not obey, but trust him from them, and in their hearts, look at what he said he did, in their hearts, they turned back again to Egypt. It's not that they went back physically, but in their hearts. Their heart was not with that leadership. They still wanted to be under Pharaoh. Of course, this is a salvation, redemption account. But it is in the ecclesia that Moses led. Their heart was somewhere else. You find people in a church. You are in a redeemed Christian church of God. Your heart is in saints community. That's wrong. That's a wrong commitment. Don't put your heart elsewhere. Your heart should be in the congregation where you belong to. They turn back in their heart. That's why you see many of them, such people, filled with murmuring, always complaining, insatiable, ungrateful, gossip, here and there. They become the CNN, new center of the church. They become the divisive factors in the church. And so if you join a church, please join fully. Stay there. Stay there. Let your heart be there. That's how he told me something. He said, remember I told him, when I was at social and so place, also, they said, send the guy back there. That's where he is. Let him go back there. When you are here, you do what we are doing here. But he had two men that I want to focus on this morning. Caleb and Joshua. Men that you want to be on your team all the time. Caleb and Joshua. Let's talk about five things that was unique about them. Caleb and Joshua. In Numbers 13 and verse 30. First thing about Caleb and Joshua was they were faithful leaders. You know, Moses picked those who were leaders of the people that he had appointed. So he now asked them to be spies. To go and check across the Jordan and look at the promised land. So despite the fact that he had chosen them, they were faithful, trustworthy. He sent them to go and look at something. Others that went with them were looking at other things. Is that what they sent you to do? Go and look at the land the Lord has given us. Come back knowing that the Lord has given us the land. Some people went to look at something else. They sent you to go and pray. You are having gist about football. They sent you to go and do evangelism. You have time to discuss yourself leader. They sent you to go and visit a brother. You went to do something else. There's a brother like that. It was in our ministry then. I had some brethren who were, you know, they were having different misgivings with the ministry then. So I thought it was a faithful brother. So I said, go and talk to them. You know, just be there, help encourage them. He said, no problem, pastor. So I would always send him to go and meet them. Always. Always. So he will come back with terrible reports. I would say, so did you, sir? He said, I spent 3 hours, pastor. We have to pray for them, oh. Say, hey. Say, 3 hours, pastor. I was really wondering. But you people are friends now. Say, no. So one of them now came and said, you sent him to talk to us. Say, no. He's the person causing the problem. Say, that letter I wrote you, he told me how to. I said, some believers are not really born again, no. Say, it's the pastor. That's the man. So I now called him one evening. We're now talking. And I give him a parable. What Nathan said to David. He said, that anybody that does that is an evil person. That kind of person is not worthy of being in this ministry. So he paused. He said, pastor, are you talking about me? I said, thou art the man. What did I do for you? When it was a day like that, you didn't answer me properly. So I felt you didn't appreciate my work. So he said to pull the house down. What did I send you to do? What did you do? We sent you to go and pray. You became a prayer. Go and see that brother. Who has not been coming to church? You went there to discuss something else. Caleb and Joshua were faithful with the mission. They were faithful. Those are the kind of people you need in your team. Number two. When the others, Numbers 13. These are stories you must read very often. When the others came back and they began to complain, Numbers 13. And they brought an evil report. Evil report. He chose heads of all the 12 of them.
10. Now, look at this. This is very critical. 10.
Said, we can't. And they gave reasons.
Now, Caleb and Joshua were not impressionable. You don't need impressionable people on your team. Impressionable. You went together. You came to a place together. And you took them there to attend a program of a church, maybe a church like ours. You came with your team. And as soon as you returned, he says, saying, Pastor, why can't we also use black chairs for our pastors? Pastor, why can't we? What happened? Why are you so impressionable? Why are you so impressionable? Because there are people like that. You just see them follow the crowd. Pew! When you were going there, what was the mandate? Face front. Keep the mandate. They were not impressionable. And how you know it? It's not that they just kept quiet. Some people just keep quiet and say, hey, we cannot do it. But why are they thinking like that? Well, Caleb screamed. Said, don't say it! Anybody who cannot raise his voice to stop such a perversion and division is not truly loyal. Someone say, someone says so and so. I said, so what did you say? I didn't say anything. I just shook my head. Keep shaking your head. He didn't say anything. Caleb raised his voice. Said, no! He stilled them. He said, stop it at once. For God gave us his word and we are able. They are not impressionable. Number three, they had the can-do spirit. Can-do. I can do it. The can-do spirit, the spirit of faith. In Numbers 13. He said, he still the people of Moses, verse 30, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're able to overcome it. Now look at Numbers 14:24. And God says, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Another spirit. A can-do spirit. In ministry, we need men and women that have the spirit of faith. Oh, the fellowship leader, the pastor, the cell leader says, we would be reaching 100 souls this week. We're going to get them committed. Don't say, how are we going to do? Is it going to be every day? Is that not too much? We need people with the can-do spirit. The spirit of faith. That says, it will be done. They have the can-do spirit. So the kind of people you need in the local church. Imagine if all of us were like that in the church. There's nothing we won't be able to do. We can do it. Someone say, we can do it. Say like me, say, we can do it. We can do it. It will be done. I love when I talk with your pastors and they said, Pastor, we'll get it done. That's the kind of thing you want to hear. We'll get it done. I train them this way, that when you come before me and you diagnose a problem, before you come with the problem, you must come with the solution. Problem critics or people that know problems are not good leaders. That's why I see people, when they're in opposition in any country, they will say everything. No, we are going to do this in 10 days. Every Nigerian will have 1 million naira. Because they can only talk. Sit down and this is the problem. This is the solution. One of the reasons why I like Obafemi Awolowo a lot is that whenever he is talking about a problem in the country, he will now write out the solution. You will read. Now, you may not agree with it, but he will say, this one, we can resolve it like this. This one, we can... That is a leader. No, just come and say, I don't know, this is happening, this has gone wrong. And so, how do we resolve it? Because true leaders don't pass the buck. They take responsibility. Say, I have the can-do spirit. I have the I-can-do spirit. That's what we need in the team.
in your business. Don't have people that are negative. We can do it. Oh, we want to acquire new companies. We want to launch this product. Yes, sir. We'll do it. Those are the kind of people you should surround yourself with. Not, why? I don't want us to enter debt too. I don't want someone to come and carry my property. How did you see property now? Can do! We can get it done. We can get it done. He saw challenges. He said we can do it. He saw the difficulties in finances. He said we can do it. He saw opposition. We can do it. We can do it. We need such men. When your pastor rolls out the vision for the year, I know many of your pastors will do it. He said, we're going to say, yes, sir. We're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. And when you see any problem in the congregation, say, Pastor, this is the problem. This is the solution. This is what I believe we should do, sir. This is what I propose. Of course, when you're talking to your pastor, don't say, I believe. Say, Pastor, I'm just thinking, if you give me the permission, sir. I'm thinking. That's how to talk to your pastor. Don't say, Pastor, I just sense. Don't be an idiot. Don't tell your pastor I'm led. Don't say stupid things like that. He knows you are led. Okay? Just say, sir, can I say something? I'm just thinking, subject to whatever you have to say. I'm just thinking, maybe you should do on Tuesday. I say, okay, no problem. And if he says no, don't say, no, this man is not led by God's Spirit. Are you with me? Say, I have the I can do Spirit. That's what we need. I can do it. Philippians 4, Paul was speaking 12 and 13. Say, I've learned in every circumstance, both to abase and abound. And he was talking about whether people give him something in ministry or not. Say, I've learned to abase and abound. Whatever circumstance I am independent, I can do all things. That is, in every circumstance, I will carry out the work of the ministry. Whether there's money, whether there's no money, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, I can do it. The spirit of faith. I can do it. Those are the people you need in the church. And the spirit of faith does not give excuses. One excuse after the other. We used to call it excusitis. Excusitis. I can do it. Caleb and Joshua, I can do it. I can do it. Number four. They followed fully. Numbers 14:24. They followed fully. Fully. Anything you give half-hearted commitment to, you cannot be a beneficiary of it. Follow fully. Don't go halfway. Follow fully. Fully. Follow it. Fully. Despite and despite, follow it fully. Look at when Elisha was going to get the mantle from Elijah. People were mocking him. Are you forgetting that this man is going? He was focused. He didn't even listen. People will mock you. They would be committed to what you are doing. I tell you oftentimes, results, proofs, silence fools. The best way to answer criticisms, get the job done. Get it done. If you are replying people, you are playing into the trap. Don't reply anybody. Just get the job done. Get the job done. You focus. Get the job done. And I'm talking generally in life. You started a business. Some people will be laughing. This one, is it going to work? Is that going to work? Get the job done. Get it done! And you see that you will just keep quiet. You're about to say, but I learn no more. The mouth just be shut. But the moment you are replying, you are trying to answer. People that are conceited. There is no amount of explanation you are going to give. They are, it's not your explanation they want to hear. They just want to see you fail. So you focus on what you want to do. See, I have the I can do spirit. I am fully committed to my purpose in life. Finally, they got to the end. Always know that what is important in the walk of the faith is to get to the end. To get to the end. I'm going to ask you, what kind of member are you in your church? What kind of leader are you in your church? It's bad enough to have this kind of other side of, the other 10 kind of spies on your in the congregation. Is now worse if they're in the leadership. You don't know how bad it is to have a murmurer, a complainer, a gossip in leadership. You will almost feel like hell has come after you. That's why if you are in leadership in any church, you should put gossip far away from you. It is beneath you. It's a shameful conduct. Gossip. Don't let them hear. Leader. What kind of person are you in your church? Are you a murmurer? Always murmuring, always complaining, always after something to blame somebody or something. Are you the kind of person who's never satisfied? Never satisfied. Insatiable, unthankful, ungrateful. Are you the kind that is part of the dishonor gang? Dishonor gang. There's nothing they cannot say about anybody. Let me say this quickly. If it is only your pastor that you honor and you respect, you are a hypocrite. Honor should not be what you give only to your pastor. I've taught you that over the years. It is to be a culture that you have. That's why when you see anybody, it's not even possible. I've told pastors, when they say some people are getting on people's walls on Facebook and they're abusing men of God, I said, the day you see anybody who is a member of this community church that is doing it, I volunteer to resign as the pastor. Who born you? Did you take drugs? Even the drugs you took must have expired. That you will go and be commenting about preachers, about ministry anywhere. Are you mad? I said, no. Those people you see doing on Facebook, they are just people that use my name to fight people. You can't do it as a member of our church. What did you sniff? Popo leaves? Or Tramadol? You must be mad. Not possible! Praise the Lord. What do you have that you are doing that you are criticizing me? What are you doing? You that 1 hour prayer. Your knees have bent 10 times. Evangelism. To even preach to a Christian who is saved to be received, you can't do it. It's not possible. Join the dishonor gang. Let honor be what you do naturally. It's not, because if you are doing it only to your pastor, of course, to those who labor over you, double honor. But if that is the only thing that we are doing for, you are still going to dishonor that pastor. There is no excuse for dishonor. Whether the person is a blessing to you or not, be an honorable person. Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't join that gang. The disloyal gang. I know I'm doing this church. I don't do what everybody does. So, you know, I don't do what everybody does. I give myself brain. That's a bad church member. You are a bad church member. And may the devil never smuggle you into leadership, because you are going to create a problem. There for the cause. You are there for the common good. You are there for the purpose. found ourselves doing? Where is your voice loudest? In gossip, in gist, or in prayer? In evangelism? So, be like this man. That commitment. One, said they are faithful leaders. Moses could pick them. Caleb and Joshua. Two, I said they were not impressionable. They are not impressionable. Your training should stand you out in the midst of the crowd. In the midst of the crowd. I don't train people that are not respectful. That don't have regard for others. For those who are not, I don't train people like that. Anywhere. It's in the culture of our ministry. When we were 5, when we were 10, when we were 20. To have high regard. It's not just now. It's ingrained in how we train ourselves. Don't put your mouth in issues. That is not you. Your pastor is talking, you are commenting. It's your pastor that will say, oh yeah, say something. No, pastor, please, can I just add to this talk? No, you can't, you know, I know you don't do that. I'm just talking about possessed people that are possessed generally. People are possessed. You see your cell leader there. You see your fellowship leader there. That's the only person that should be talking. Amen? She says, bro, say something now. Okay. Thank you for the honor. Then you say something. Not say, pastor, cool down. Kuzi, pastor, kuzi. Not impressionable. You have the I can do it spirit. It will be done. Pastor says, you know, we need to have a cell, a fellowship on that campus. We need to go to that area, that estate. Say, it will be done, sir. It will be done. It will be done. Before they follow fully. And fifth, they get to the end. Are you in church? Are you in church? They get to the end. These are the kinds of people that we want to have in churches. Word men. Sound doctrine. Christocentric. Christology. The word. What else is it? The power of God. The word of God. Hear me. Hear me very well. If you want the word to really grow, be committed to your church. The way the word will grow in Nigeria, in Africa, in Europe, is when you pull your resources into that local assembly that you believe the Lord wants you to be and throw your life into it. It's not by jumping from WhatsApp group to WhatsApp group. I tell people, if it's God you want to serve, say, I want to learn the word. I say, join every study group in church. If it's the word. Join every prayer group. Jumping from pillar to post. A rolling stone gathers no moss. Everywhere, bam, 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 bam. Put that resource in one place and see the work of the ministry blossom. In one place. I love something Reverend Dow said years ago. Bless me. The pastor of the church where I was youth pastor. He said, little men, if you want to expose them, give them great things. He said, great men, if you want people to see them, give them small things. He said, because faithfulness is a lifestyle. Whatever is part of you is a part of you. Very important. Put everything here. You are talking about, you want the world to be rich for Christ. You want, I want the world to light, the light the nations. And you cannot put your resource in one place. How would they reach the nation? How would it reach the nation? Be committed. Make sure in the coming year, you throw your all into that one place. Not moved by trends, vogues, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. No! You follow the leading of the Spirit in your local church. Can I have an amen? Now, what are they preaching now? We don't run our church like that. For example, it says community church. It's not, we don't teach from what people are teaching around. We don't respond to situations going on. That's not, go and check our CV. Some of them are dated 14 years, 13 years, 12 years. We have a pattern. We have a curriculum. We have a curriculum. We don't do new programs. How many have we done? This conference started in 1998, even before this church was ever birthed. Our believers convention began in 1995, under Royal Family Christian Center. 95 is it for? The camp meeting was 2001 or 2002. You know, before the church was, there's no new meeting we've added since we began this church. They have all been meetings that preceded this church. All of them. All. Believers convention, camp meeting, fortress camp meeting, world changers conference. Because this is what we're called to do. Okay, so what can we do now? Nothing. We'll keep doing what we're doing. And God will add to it. He will bring increase to it. He will make it blossom. Can I have an amen? Follow the leading of the Spirit in that assembly. God leads you personally. He also leads you concurrently with the leadership of the men and women He has put in your life. God will not lead you alone. He will lead you with men. Check your Bible very well. Paul was called by Jesus, and Ananias was there. He was sent forth. The elders in Acts 13 were there. He will use people to lead you in His purpose and plan. Can I have an amen? Throw your all into that place. All the visions that you had in primary school, or in crèche, in nursery school, now it's time to put it to work in that place that He has placed you. Church, I'll continue with this afternoon. The year 2022 is to strengthen local churches, and that is going to happen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stable, stabilized, established, faithful, reliable local churches. That is what we are receiving in this conference. Solid, focused, energized, reinvigorated assemblies. Working in God's will and purpose. Growing, increasing. Reaching the nation, reaching the world. Bringing a harvest of souls. Changing the template of the whole country, Nigeria, of Africa. Changing the outlook of Africa, of Europe, of America, of Asia. These are the churches that are coming out of this place. Reliable, solid, faithful, consistent, dogged, diligent men and women in the assembly of the saints. Walking in one accord, in unity, in love, in generosity, in good conduct, sound conduct, in uprightness, in sanctification, in faith, in focus. This is the result of this conference. Pray in tongues. Receive that for your church. Pray in tongues.